Some years ago, there was a time when I felt like I was crushing it financially. This was a season before I entered into so-called vocational Christian ministry, where I was making more money than I needed by quite a long shot. There was another time in my life when I felt like I was crushing it academically. I felt like if I could keep up this level of performance, a door could open for me to study almost anywhere. But those were also the unhappiest times of my life. I felt like I was a slave to work, and I also felt like I was a slave to my studies. And after a while, I thought, this isn't worth it. And so I sought a little more balance in my life. I began to embrace a regular Sabbath day, and slowly I began to feel like a human being again. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man or a woman if they should gain the whole world but lose their soul?" When Jesus spoke those words originally, he was likely not only referring to eternal damnation, but to the loss of a connection or a potential connection with God in this lifetime. Speaking of soul, we are in a sermon series right now called Survival Habits of the Soul. And it's going through the themes in our new book, Survival Guide for the Soul. I say our book because all of my writing comes out of our common community life here. And if you haven't picked up a copy and would like one, you can get one in the Upper East Hall after the service. They're on sale for a discounted price. All proceeds go to World Vision and to missions that work with vulnerable children. If you can't afford the $10, I'm glad to gift you with a copy. I've set aside some of my own money to do that. Today we're going to be looking at the survival habit of Sabbath, which is our palace in time. In the Bible, God offers these words to us through the Ten Commandments given to us by the hand of his servant Moses. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. God says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day, and therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And then in Deuteronomy 5, a little later, the Ten Commandments are given again, and there's a slight nuance with the Sabbath command. God says, "Keep the Sabbath," and then in verse 15, he says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Let's pray together. Living and loving God, we thank you that out of your desire to want our best, you have given us this Sabbath commandment. Help us to embrace it and to experience the life with you and creation and people that you want us to enjoy, that we might become fully human, so that we might live the life that you want to give to us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in this message, we're going to be looking at the survival habit of Sabbath, which in the words of the great Jewish theologian Abraham Heschel, is a palace in time. Before we look at this theme of a palace in time, we're going to be looking at why it is that God commands us both in Exodus and Deuteronomy to keep a Sabbath. And Sabbath, ideally, according to the scriptures, is a 24-hour period of time where we cease our productive work and we don't check our work-related emails or text messages. Just shut that down completely. Now, that sounds pretty simple, but let me ask you a question. When was the last time you didn't check your smartphone or any electronic device for 24 hours, including social media? Some of you can't remember that time. And so it's not as easy as it sounds, but if we embrace Sabbath, it will be truly life-giving for us. So why does God command us to keep a Sabbath? According to the passage here in Exodus, God tells us that we are to keep a Sabbath because God worked for 6 days and then rested for one, and we were created to mirror the God in whose image we have been made. And it's interesting in the Exodus passage that not only are the Hebrew people, our spiritual forebears, commanded to take a Sabbath, but so are their servants and animals. And so the Sabbath commandment isn't intended just for a privileged few, but for all human beings, all animals, the whole of creation. And if we disregard this rhythm of one day of rest in seven, we will damage ourselves. Juan Carlos Lerman is a researcher at the University of Arizona, and his research demonstrates that human beings have a biological and emotional need for a day of rest in every seven. According to the data, failing to rest after 6 days of steady work will lead to insomnia or sleepiness, hormonal imbalances, fatigue, irritability, organ stress, and other increasingly serious physical and mental symptoms. Not taking one day in seven as a Sabbath also makes people more prone to addiction. According to a study, this is pretty remarkable, I think. Here in North America, nearly half of adults have some kind of chronic illness. According to a medical study published by the prestigious Lancet Medical Journal out of Great Britain, 7 out of 10 deaths are fueled by lifestyle behaviors. 7 out of 10 deaths. If as a society we took a regular Sabbath, 1 in every 7 days, those numbers would be dropping. And there's other data that show us that when we embrace a Sabbath day, we really flourish. I've cited this study before, but National Geographic commissioned a research project where the researchers were exploring, looking for blue zones, and they identified 4. Blue zones meaning that people are living to age 100 and beyond at a rate greater than anywhere else on the planet. And the researchers were surprised that one of these blue zones was located in Southern California. They were shocked because there's so much smog and pollution in Southern California. And they dug a little further and they discovered that in this community called Loma Linda, the reason people were living on average 10 years longer than anyone else in North America was because there was a high concentration of Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And as their very name suggests, Seventh-day Adventists, these are Christians that actually keep the Sabbath. They are not 9-commandment Christians. They are 10-commandment Christians. They also value family connection and eating healthy, so that helps. But a big part of the reason why they are considered by many to be the healthiest group on the planet is because they embrace a 24-hour Sabbath. And so we're called to Sabbath because we were designed to rest one day in seven. We're also called to Sabbath, according to the book of Deuteronomy, because we are no longer slaves. God says to our spiritual forebears, "Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." God was saying, your people, your spiritual forebears, were slaves for more than 400 years in Egypt under the iron-fisted rule of Pharaoh. Remember, now you are a free people living under the gracious and loving hand of God. Therefore, embrace your freedom. Know that your life is not defined by making bricks or by your productive work alone. In this era of human history, when the Ten Commandments were given, the Egyptians had their gods. The Akkadians and the Phoenicians had their gods, but none of their gods ever gave them a regular day off. According to the historian Thomas Cahill, up until the time when the Ten Commandments were given to the Hebrew people, no ordinary working people had ever been given a regular day off. So this commandment is an unprecedented gift in the history of the world. And when we embrace the gift of rest, one day in seven, we're reminded that we are not slaves, but we are free sons and daughters of a God who loves us. And the best analog that I have for this, and it's not original with me, is the relationship some of us have with young children, our own or someone else's. So I've talked about Joey quite a bit. So Sean's sitting right in front of me. He's got a couple of young sons. Julian, how old is Julian now?
Nine.
How old, and Declan? Six, right? I'm guessing they're not super productive, you know, by a worldly standard, you know. Hopefully they're not, you know, working in some factory instead of going to school. And they're probably not generating a lot of income. I don't know how they do in school. But I know that you and Carla would love them regardless of whether they are productive or not, regardless of whether they're making money or not, regardless of whether they're getting good grades or not. You'd love them just because they're alive and breathing, because they're your kids. And if you have a child in your life, nephew, niece, some young friend, whom you love not because of what they can do for you or because of some utility they bring to the world, then you have an idea as to how God regards you. And when you embrace your Sabbath, you're reminded that God loves you not because of your production capacity, but simply because you're alive, simply because you're a daughter or son of God. And you can feel the yoke of the Father's love falling under your shoulders. Jesus said, "Come to me if you're weary or heavy laden, and I will give you rest by placing my yoke upon your shoulders." And Jesus's yoke is the yoke of his Father's love for him. It's the same yoke that he wants you to wear. It's the yoke of God's unique love for you. Abraham Heschel was a great Jewish theologian, as I mentioned. He wrote a classic book called The Sabbath, in which he said this sacred day is a palace in time. He points out that in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. But on the seventh day, God created Menuah. Menuah is often translated rest, but it is probably best translated joyous repose, tranquility, or delight. And Abraham Heschel makes the argument that the very pinnacle of creation wasn't man or woman. I know some women have made the argument, I have no issue with it, that since woman was created after man and, you know, creation is increasingly getting more complex, that women are really the apex of creation, you know, vis-a-vis man. Okay, I have no issue with that. Sean will explain the mysteries of that after the service, okay? All right, so stay tuned. That's what 10th Connect is about, or it's going to be about. But Heschel makes the contention that human beings were created on the sixth day, but Menuah, rest, joyous repose, tranquility, peace, delight, were created on the seventh day. Therefore, the very pinnacle of creation is not humankind, but rest, Sabbath. And he says that Sabbath was not intended for us just to recover from 6 days of work or just to refuel us for six more days of work, but it was intended for the sake of life itself. He writes, "The Sabbath is not for the sake of the weekdays. The weekdays are for the sake of the Sabbath. It is not an interlude, but the climax of living." Sabbath is intended as a palace in time to celebrate the climax of living. It is a day where we can delight in God, delight in life, and delight in the people around us. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you may recall that I begin my days with some silent meditative prayer. It helps me become more aware of the God who is always with me. If you were here last Sunday, you may recall that I talked about a gratitude prayer called The Examine. I use a free app called Reimagining The Examine that has me look back over the day and give thanks to God for one or two or three things that felt like gifts from his hand. Well, on my Sabbath day, I also spend some time, maybe I'll sleep in a little bit, in meditation, in silent prayer. It's not an obligation. It helps awaken me to a sense that God is with me. And then not in the evening, but at some point in the morning, I'll do a leisurely prayer of examine, a leisurely prayer of gratitude. I'll look back over the last hours. I may look at my journal. I may look at my diary and think about the gifts of the season. You know, after 6 days of creation, what does God do? Scripture tells us that God pauses and he looks over what he has made and he says, this is good. This is very good. So God stops and he celebrates. He delights in the work of his hands. And Sabbath is a day to stop. It is to pause and to delight in what God has done in our lives, to celebrate that work. Do you know that the only time the word holy is used in all the Ten Commandments is in reference to the Sabbath day? When God says, keep the Sabbath holy, what does that mean? It means set it apart for me, for God. Eugene Peterson was a very respected pastor, professor of Christian spirituality, continues to be a much beloved writer on the spiritual life. I'm sure he thought about this phrase, but it's going to be jarring once I mention it. But I think he's right. He says there's a difference between a day off and a Sabbath. He says a day off, and here's the jarring part, is a, quote, bastard Sabbath. It's not the same thing as a Sabbath. And I think he's right. A Sabbath, a true Sabbath, is a day that is set apart for God, with God. Sean knows, earlier this month, our colleague Melissa, who is the pastor of Family Ministries here, and her team organized a Bring Your Kids to Work Day here at 10th for the staff. And so just before this day, she and her team surveyed our kids. It was a private survey. We didn't know about it. But the kids were asked questions about their parents, those of us who work here at 10th, in preparation for a how well do you know the pastors and staff at 10th quiz. And so after the day, one of the kids' pastors approached me with a sheet of paper and gave me this private survey that was given to our son Joey, who's 10 years old. He wasn't anticipating that I would get it. And he's very straightforward. And one of the questions was, what is your dad's hobby? And he had written an answer. Now, it's not going to be really embarrassing or I'd be disinclined to share it, okay? But his answer surprised me. The question, what is your dad's hobby? Joey's answer written out. My dad's hobby is to spend time with me. I was surprised that he wrote that. And I was happy too, as you can imagine. If God were to ask me the question in a survey, not that God would need a survey. What is my hobby? What is Ken's hobby? I hope my heart would say that my hobby, especially on the Sabbath, is to spend time with you, to delight in you. And Sabbath is a day to delight in God. It doesn't mean that we spend our entire day reading the Bible or consciously praying, but we have some kind of practice, ideally, that helps us become more conscious of God. And then out of that, we can say, God, what shall we do together today? And if you ask that question, the answer will come to you. Do something that brings life. It's interesting that in the Gospels, Jesus loves to heal on the Sabbath, even though he gets tremendous pushback from the religious authorities. One time Jesus was in a synagogue on the Sabbath. He sees a man with a withered hand, but he notices that there are religious people around, leaders, that will violently react if he heals the man. And so Jesus asked the religious leaders, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Now Jesus didn't heal on the Sabbath just to be contrarian or to create a buzz or to create controversy. for its own sake. That was not in his nature. But Jesus heals on the Sabbath, even though it's going to cost him, because he wants to show us that God loves to restore and bring life to us on the Sabbath. And so on the Sabbath, do the things that bring you life. I never tire of quoting my dear friend Mark Buchanan here, who spoke at one of our retreats last weekend in Hope. In his classic book called The Rest of God, he says the golden rule for Sabbath is to cease from what is necessary and to embrace what brings life. He says Sabbath is a reprieve from doing what you ought to do, even though the list of oughts is infinitely long and never done. Oughts are tyrants, noisy and surly, chronically dissatisfied. Sabbath is the day you trade places with them. They go into the salt mine and you go out dancing. You get to willfully ignore the many niggling things your existence genuinely depends on and is often hobbled beneath, so that you can turn to whatever you have put off and pushed away for lack of time, lack of room, lack of breath. You get to shuck the have-tos and lay hold of the get-tos. So let me ask you, what is a life-giving get-to that you could embrace on the Sabbath? Just answer in your heart. Embrace that get-to on the Sabbath. For me, what brings life is being in the water swimming, maybe on the water kayaking or sailing. For you, it might be listening to beautiful music, viewing gorgeous art, eating your favorite food, spending time with someone really special. Do what brings you life. My wife, Sakiko, is taking a spiritual formation class in Oregon. So she goes down a couple times a year. She's got a classmate named AJ. And some time ago, AJ came across something where he read that Jewish fathers give their children a spoonful of honey on the Sabbath day to remind them how sweet the Sabbath is. So AJ got an idea. He thought, on my Sabbath, I'm going to make pancakes with our son, Elliot, who's now 7 years old or so. And so he and Elliot make these big pancakes on the Sabbath day, and then they just douse them, drench them with like tons of maple syrup. And then they wake up his mom, AJ's wife, Quinn, and they have breakfast together. And AJ says, I do this because I want my son, Elliot, to know the Sabbath is sweet. And I hope that when I am dead and gone, and my son Elliot is an adult, every time he hears the word Sabbath, he'll start drooling. So I have some honey here. I think it's organic honey from the honey shop. It's sweet. Clover honey. Anyone want a spoonful of honey? Anyone? Mari, is that a yes? You're sort of laughing. Okay, all right. This is a little crystallized because the weather got cool. But it'll melt in your mouth, okay? So, all right, go ahead. Yeah, you can have it. So, Mari, I want you to remember that the Sabbath is sweet. I want everyone to remember the Sabbath is sweet. So if you want some honey afterwards, just come up to me. Use the used spoon. The clean spoon is for the third service, okay? The evening service. All right. So Sabbath is a day to delight in God, to delight in life, and to delight in the people around us. You know, I am a person who is sufficiently workaholic that it would be natural for me to keep work on the front burners of my life and family and friends on the back burners of my life. And so I am thankful that when God says, take a Sabbath day, he doesn't say, it's just a suggestion. It's just a friendly reminder, but he says it's a commandment. And because it is a commandment, it forces me to stop because I don't want to sin unnecessarily. But I'm glad because I think it is consistent with what my best self would do. And it has protected my marriage and it has protected my relationship with family and friends. There's no way Joe would have said without the Sabbath rhythm that my dad's hobby is spending time with me. Now, you may not be as workaholically oriented as I am, whether you're workaholic or not. Good news is this, that you get to spend time with the most important people in your life, be they family or others, be they in Vancouver or some distant place, and you're connecting by FaceTime or phone, you get to enjoy their company, delight in them without any guilt on the Sabbath that you're not doing productive work. That's a gift. Sabbath is a Palestinian time to delight in God, life, the people that are most important in your world. You know, an interesting study came out some years ago of a Jewish community, and the study showed, remarkably, that Jewish people are less likely to die on the Sabbath, that the mortality, the death rate actually drops in the Sabbath. That's pretty amazing, for one, because presumably many Jewish physicians and nurses aren't working on the Sabbath, right? So there's less medical support, presumably. And the researchers hypothesized that the reason Jewish people are less likely to die on the Sabbath is this: that they enjoy connection with God, they believe, and certainly connection with life and family. And so even if they're really sick and they're terminally ill, Jewish people want to rally for the Sabbath. They want to make it to that day. Yeah. And so Sabbath provides life in more ways than one. It's a great gift. But let's admit it, for many of us, it's hard to enter into Sabbath. If you're a parent with young children, it's challenging. If you're a medical school resident, it's tough. If you've just started a new business, it's hard. You know, parents have asked me with young kids, how do we keep a Sabbath? When God first gave the Sabbath commandment in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, he didn't specify how parents with young children were to live out the Sabbath, because the Sabbath commandment was given to a people who lived in community. There were lots of uncles and aunts and grandparents and clan members that could take care of little kids. And so moderns have told me, people today have told me, that part of what can be helpful is, if they have young kids, is getting together with other families with young kids. And so the kids can sort of take care of themselves, or one parent plays point one day, another parent plays point another day, and so forth. But it can be hard, and sometimes Sabbath won't be perfect. It won't be complete, but let's move toward perfection. Let's move toward freedom. And it can be hard because our culture as a whole doesn't encourage Sabbath keeping. You know, I'm old enough to remember the days when most stores were closed on Sunday. That's obviously not the case anymore. We're swimming against the current if we honor the Sabbath. Walter Brueggemann is a very respected prophetic biblical scholar, writes, "But Sabbath is not only resistance, it's alternative. Thus, I have come to think that the fourth commandment on the Sabbath is the most difficult and the most urgent of all the commandments in our society." I think he's right. If you're not taking a regular Sabbath, it can be hard to get into the sink of that. I remember being a student in Boston. The term would be done, final exam written, and then I would get in my car and drive up to Montreal, where our family was living at the time. At night, I'd go to sleep, and the next morning, I was sort of like, where am I right now? Be a little bewildered. And I started thinking, I ought to be studying for a final, writing a paper. And then I'd remember, oh yeah, it's Christmas vacation. But it would take me a few days just to sort of settle into it. And if you're not used to not checking your messages once a day, you know, like one day in seven, you're going to want to check, because every time you open up a new message, the novelty of those words releases a little bit of a reward chemical in your brain. That's why these things can be addictive. It's a good reason to quarantine them one day in seven. There's a person who served as a president of one of the theological schools on the campus of UBC, who led his school through a major fundraising campaign, and then he and his wife took an extended vacation in Wales. And this person decided, I'm going to not use my cell phone, I won't use my computer, I will unplug from email and messages and all that. And he found that he experienced all kinds of physical and emotional withdrawal pains. He yearned for the production of work. He was going through a crisis, and he realized that he had squeezed Sabbath out of his life. And so when he returned to Vancouver, he resolved to keep a 24-hour Sabbath once a week, where he would do nothing work-related, no computer, no email, no messaging. He would worship in community. He would spend time with family and friends and just putz around in his garden. And he said, after a year, I could feel a huge difference. I felt this peace and wholeness, this shalom on the Sabbath day. I close with a story from Abraham Heschel, the book, The Sabbath. He describes a Jewish man who was taken captive, placed in a completely dark cave where not a single ray of light could reach him. And in his captivity, this Jewish man craved for nicotine. He was an addicted smoker. He felt restless. He felt lonely and angry. But then after several days, he strangely, completely lost his craving for cigarettes. Instead of restlessness, he felt peace. Instead of despair, he felt this strange joy well up inside him. And he counted the days in his head and he realized, today is the Sabbath day. And every seven days, he experienced this cessation of craving for cigarettes, this peace, this sense of life. Even in that prison, even in that dark cave, he experienced a palace in time. If we live in Vancouver, most of us will not live in a sprawling mansion. And most of us will probably not own a second home. But you can have a second home in time if you embrace the gift of Sabbath. In fact, you can have a palace in time. Jesus Christ died for our sins, not only so we could be forgiven our sins, but also so we could be free. As the hymn says, to paraphrase, he died to make us holy, and he died to make us free. People who are free from the slavery of sin, people who are free from the slavery of work and studies. Somebody died so that you might live free. So embrace the sign of your freedom. Embrace the sign that you are no longer a slave, but a beloved, freed son or daughter of God by entering your Sabbath rest, by entering into your palace in time. Let's pray. Some of you here, and I don't mean to make you squirm, are nine commandment Christians. You have been disregarding the Sabbath. And the God who loves you, who made you, who desires your best, is inviting you to embrace this command as well. To delight in him, to delight in life, to delight in people on this sacred holy day. And if you are feeling led to do so, you can respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart by resolving to start embracing a Sabbath day, delighting in it, maybe for a month, maybe for the coming year, hopefully for a lifetime. And so offer yourself now, if you feel so led by the Holy Spirit, to living a life that embraces the gift you cannot afford to refuse, the gift of Sabbath. The gift that may add years to your life and certainly life to your years. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.